Well, bless the Lord. We just ask the Lord's presence here in His Word, that He would anoint His Word today, and that we would have the manna and the bread from heaven that we need for our life, for our soul, to keep us and preserve us in this wicked and perverse generation, O Lord. Amen. We're talking about deception, and today I want to talk about the deceivers. Who are the deceivers? We defined deception. We put the words on the board here last week, so you know we put the word deceive, seduce, deceit, deceiver, beguile, seduce, deceitfulness. We've been through that, but now I want to go to Timothy, and in order to actually, the verse I'm looking for is chapter 3, verse 13. Okay. And I'll read that, but then I have to go back and read the rest of the chapter, because it really is what verse 13 is all about. Okay? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Amen? So what we have here is seducers. Seducers. These are men. Okay? Remember, the definition of seduce is a paplana, to lead astray from truth. Okay? And these men who lead astray are deceived. Okay? So they themselves have gone astray. They have wandered from the truth. They are deceived and deceiving. Okay, now I don't know what's going on. I suspect that there are mega churches. I don't have to suspect. I know it. Where there are great men, great stars. Jesus said these stars are going to fall. Okay, one of the signs of the end time will be falling stars. And you will see them. Amen. And you will see them fall. And so here he's saying evil men and seducers will, 2 Timothy chapter 3.
You didn't say
2
Timothy.
Oh. I forgot to say 2 Timothy.
You said Timothy. There's one.
Oh, it's the other Timothy.
Yeah.
Well, you knew if you couldn't find it in 1 Timothy, you'd have to go to the next Timothy. Okay. Of course, just reading this chapter, you know it's in 2 Timothy. By the way, what Paul is writing here in these last chapters of 2 Timothy, this is the last writing that Paul will ever write. Okay? The man is in bonds. He's in Rome. Nero is not going to release him. Nero is going to send him into the arena. Presumably the lions are going to take him. Okay? I was reading in Daniel, by the way. I guess it was yesterday I was reading, or the day before, whatever. How Nebuchadnezzar, they tricked Nebuchadnezzar into sending Daniel into the lion's den. Nebuchadnezzar did not hate Daniel. He had a love for Daniel. And they tricked him into throwing him into the lion's den. And the king didn't get any sleep that night. He was just beside himself. It's
Ahasuerus.
Yes. Although I looked at that word, and the one commentator said he thinks that word might be as much of a title. He says there are four different kings that were named Ahasuerus, so it might be a title, like His Majesty or His Lordship. Anyway, so the next morning he came to the... And apparently, you know, we saw this... Here, I'm getting off a little bit, but you find this interesting. We have this DVD of Daniel, and they had this lion's den, lion, but the lions were in this dungeon where you had to open a prison door, you know, and put the man in and everything. This was not the case. It was very clearly that he was put down into this thing. Down. It very clearly says down. And then when he was released, it says Daniel was brought up out of this thing. So it was this hole in the ground with something at the top that the lions couldn't get out of. Anyway, Daniel said, the Lord has closed the mouth of the lions. The angel of the Lord has, the Lord sent his angel to close the mouth of the lions. Now he could have done that for Paul as well. Oh, and by the way, when the king, of course, brought Daniel out, he gathered those princes and whoever that had conspired to put Daniel in there. Guess what happened to them? Do you know what else? Them, their wives, and their children. All. I tell you, by the way, this is what happened to Achan. His whole family. I mean, that ought to be some incentive to walk upright. I mean, for your own self, but what about your wife and your kids are going to suffer with you? I mean, what is God saying here?
Was it with Haman too?
Haman too, yes. Yes, how many sons did Haman have? Was it 10 sons and they were all hung on the same gallows? Mm-hmm. Wipe the whole family out. I'm sorry, I got a little bit off, but I'm thinking, my goodness, the extent of punishment. This is a spiritual thing, though. The sins of the fathers
are visited
to the children, to the third and fourth generation. Man ought to think about that before he does something. Anyway, I'm back in Timothy here. Seducers. Okay, my point of talking about Paul is, if you knew that you weren't going to be long, if you knew that your life and your ministry was coming to an end, and you knew that this was going to be the last letter that you're going to be able to write, perhaps, what would you not pour out what you believe to be the most important thing that is in your heart? Would you not?
Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus did.
Yes.
He said, go forth and preach the gospel. That was the last thing he said in all of his words, all of his messages.
Yeah. And you know, he didn't do the Beatitudes in the last week of his life. He did the end time teaching. Just before his crucifixion, he gave the prophecy. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's coming. Here's what's coming. And he laid it all out. I believe that Paul, whereas he's not a prophet, he's prophesying. He has a prophetic word here. Now, he said, let me go back. This whole thing, this whole chapter is about the apostasy that is coming upon the church. Well, when Paul wrote it, it was coming. But as of this day, it has come. The great falling away has been well underway. So let me start off here in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times. We are living in perilous times. Okay? For men. Now, who are the seducers? The seducers are men. Okay, you say, well, the devil did it. The devil, no. The devil is working through men, but men are the ones who are going to seduce. When a guy comes up to sell you snake oil, it isn't the devil telling you snake oil. It's that salesman that is trying to get you to buy it. And he's going to lie about it. He's going to do whatever he wants. And by the way, they say that snake oil actually did help relieve pains if it was real snake oil. The problem is they were substituting something else and it wasn't working. Anyway, okay. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is this true today?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean by that? My goodness.
If it isn't obvious, I don't know. Everybody's running around taking selfies. I'm so wonderful.
Yes.
What a great example. The selfie movement.
Yes.
On an airplane and they're stamping in their seat.
This is only the beginning. If we are aghast from it, and we are, I'm shocked from it too. This is horrible when we see it. I know, I believe in my heart, it'll be even way worse.
Well, this selfie stuff is being put all over their Facebook. This is what Facebook is all about, is I love me. I mean, they have to tell what they had for breakfast, you know, and everything. It's me, me, me. Lovers of their own self. Covetous. What's covetous mean?
Did you say covet?
Covet.
To want everything.
Yeah, especially money, mm-hmm. Right? What's in it for me? Covetous. Boasters.
Oh, yeah.
Boasters. What's that little thing that they... What, Trump writes it every now and then. What's,
what? Twitter.
Isn't that where people boast? On Twitter?
Or Facebook.
Boasters. Proud. Okay. Somebody was talking about this gay pride thing.
Oh, yeah.
Pride. This is proud. This is proud of my sin.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of my wickedness. Proud of my perversion. The big news, apparently the mayor of Boston didn't want to give him a permit. But somebody ruled that he has to give everybody the right to free speech, and they all have to have their right to parade around in their pride.
Well, last Monday morning, the Gazette had a great big picture of the whole carnival going on.
Yeah, and this is...
Hey.
This is our local newspaper.
Yeah.
Boy, can you tell where they stand?
Mm-hmm.
Every time there's an editorial and they have an opportunity, they publish every letter that is critical of the president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that newspaper can survive. Does everybody in this area believe like that newspaper? I'm talking about proud and blasphemers.
Yeah.
By the way, what is blasphemy? Give me a definition of blasphemy. No, blasphemy isn't just uttering a bunch of dirty sailor words. That's not blasphemy. That's cursing and swearing.
Standing in the place of God.
There we go. Blasphemy is actually standing in the place of God. So the ministry, quote unquote, the clergy, is really the ones who are most guilty of blasphemy. If you say that you are the vicar of Christ, by the way, I looked it up in the dictionary. I was looking up viceroy to see what the meaning of viceroy is, and this Belshazzar apparently was a viceroy. He was standing in place of his father. His grandfather was Nebuchadnezzar. His father, I forget his name, was a big general. He was apparently out fighting wars, while his apparent son, his wild, rebellious son, was in his place, lost the whole kingdom over it. What a guy. Yeah, a viceroy. So, a vicar of Christ. I saw that in the next line. A vicar of Christ is one who says that I am in the place of Christ over the church on this earth. That's blasphemy. Yeah.
The enemy side does it too, but not with the same words.
The what?
The enemy side does it too, but not with the same words.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. If you are taking the place of God, you are taking the holiness of God upon yourself. And they refer to these men as His holiness.
Mm.
My goodness. You would be blaspheming to call Him that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, blasphemy. Disobedient to parents. Children are taught that, really, in some of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
To disobey their parents. Unthankful and unholy. And I made the comment as we were singing this song, with a With a thankful heart, or no, was that the phrase? Yeah, with a thankful heart, we come before the Lord. You know, when we come before the Lord to thank Him for anything, just let that grateful heart, just let the Lord hear the gratefulness of your heart, how much you love Him, how much you are pleased with all that He does for you, all that He gives you, without natural affection. Now we're coming to the laws that they are passing in regards to killing the baby, not only killing the baby in the womb, but now they're passing laws. And by the way, this is not your crude, ugly, hillbilly, crude type of people that are passing these laws. These are educated, these are people who have been elected to high positions. People that are running these organizations are very rebellious, but they're intelligent, they've got high degrees, but they have been deceived to the point of believing that what is in a woman's body, a growing child, even to the point of birth, can be annihilated and killed without regard to the sin of taking a life. This is without natural affection. Where did they have this woman giving credence to this thing, talking about her abortions? And she was saying, oh, that second abortion was my best abortion. Oh, my goodness. How can you talk? This is totally gone. No natural effects. See, natural affection, my goodness. Go out in nature. A mother bear, try to take her cub away from her. You're going to find out what natural affection is. I mean, she doesn't have the kind of a soul that a man has, but boy, has she got nature. I mean, even on the farm, when a cow out in the field would have her calf out in the field, and Dad would send me out to, well, got to go bring that heifer in, you know, and she's just had a calf. Well, I go to try to drive that cow in, and she'll attack me. She'll run at me, you know. I had a hard time. I had to do this several times as a teenager, you know, trying to grab that calf and get the calf moving and get the cow moving at the same time. Boy, the natural affection. And she was a tame cow. I mean, you could ordinarily you bring her in and she'll, you know, bring her and milk her and all that, you know, feed her and all that. Nice, nice, gentle cow. But boy, when she had that calf, wow. Something happened. Some kind of natural affection. Human beings are supposed to have something natural as well. And the day is coming, what Paul says, this is going to be gone. Men, women, gone. Truce breakers, they must be high officials in the government. They said we never made that truce. False accusers, they're bringing lawsuits. Yeah, that's what's happening. Bring a lawsuit, falsely accused. By the way, incontinent. Do you know what the word incontinent means?
You can't contain yourself.
Let's talk about from a nurse's point of view, a doctor's point of view. The patient is incontinent.
Mm-hmm. Can't contain themselves.
Can't hold anything.
Pass the water.
Yeah, water, whatever. It says without self-control. Without self-control. What was his defense for his crimes? Oh, I'm mentally unstable. I didn't know what I was doing, Your Honor. So give me a pass. I'm incontinent. Spiritually. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. They're hating the good, okay? Traitors. My goodness, what a bunch of definitions. Traitors. Traitors are people who what? Will not keep their word. They will not be loyal to you. Somebody gives them a better deal, they'll take it. Traitors. Heady. Oh, do you know the word heady? What'd you say?
It says reckless.
Reckless. I think of heady as, I've heard the term heady. People that are on certain drugs get heady. I don't know. We don't use that word very often. They've just reckless. I think sometimes people with a little bit to drink, they get heady. Suddenly their mouth, they're ready to say things that they wouldn't say. They're ready to try to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. They just, another form of loss of self-control. Heady, high-minded, and that's haughty. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
The legalization of marijuana.
What do people want to do in all their spare time?
Get buzzed?
Yeah. People's life ambition sometimes is to have what? What's the big dream? Have a second house on the lake, a big boat. Fish every weekend, or maybe you don't like to fish. What would lay on the beach, soak up the sun, play, and more play. Lovers of pleasure. What's that big casino doing down the street? I mean, what are the people doing there? Well, they're covetous. Heady, lovers of pleasure. You see their big billboards on 890? You know, the big billboard for the casino. What does it say?
Live a little, live a lot.
You go 890, John, when you go from...
Live a lot, live a little or something.
What is it? Something and something... Booze and something else waiting for you. They're appealing to man's desire to just let it all out, have a good time, gamble, get reckless. All right, now, that's all their descriptions. Remember now, evil men and seducers wax, worse and worse. Wax means it's a trend. When something waxes, it gradually takes a different form. I think the form of wax is probably a good one. At one point when wax is hot, you know, it's kind of a liquid. But as it cools, it waxes more and more solid into the state that it's going to be. So, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. All right, there's three things being said in this verse. First of all, is a form of godliness. What does that mean? Give me a one word. One word. Starts with an R.
Religion.
There you go. This is religion. A form of godliness. You think of the churches that call themselves churches that have absolutely no spiritual life whatsoever. They have a lot of formality. The man dresses with big long robes and mitres and what have you on his head. Form of godliness. It's a law. It's all ritual. But denying the what?
Power.
Now this word power is the dynamo. Having a form of godliness, but having no action of power. No way to get prayers answered. God does not hear. Nobody would call you to ask you for prayer. We got an internet call, by the way, from a brother in Belize, Brother Lee, that was our driver. Has a wife and three little children, I think. And he wrote an email to several of us, and he said, "Oh, please, brethren, my heart is so pained. My little baby is sick and has a fever. So please pray." So we prayed, and then Rita wrote back yesterday and said, "Brother, please tell us how it happened." "Oh, God heard my prayer. The little baby is healed, you know." And he was so grateful, you know. This is the power. Little things like this. To heal your little babies. You cry out to God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Denying doesn't mean... Well, sometimes it means they say that. You know, there are Christian evangelical churches that do not believe that God heals people today. Did you know that? Yeah, go ahead, Regan.
Denying the power thereof, I'm thinking of the scripture that be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So if you're a hearer only, you're not going to, if you're not doing the work, that's what the might, the power, the
that's right
behind it.
In other words, it isn't part of your life.
Yeah.
When you go for instance, when a denomination comes to the point where they say, well, God doesn't do that anymore. Why? Why are they saying that?
Because they don't have the power.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you don't have the power to do it, the next thing you know is it becomes your doctrine that God doesn't do it anymore. Just the same thing as saying, well, God isn't baptizing people in the Holy Spirit anymore.
Deceiving and
being deceived themselves. And then it becomes the thing that they preach. You know, the thing that when we went to the Christian Missionary Alliance Church up in Glens Falls years ago, 45 years ago, we were up there. I asked the pastor, I said, what's the difference between you and the Baptist? And he says, well, we believe in healing. we believe in anoint you with oil and you can be healed. I said, so the Baptists don't practice that? He says, no, they don't. So I said, so that'll basically be the difference. Denying the power thereof. But, on the other hand, this man denied the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you know what happened? His wife got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he didn't know what to do with it. He didn't know how to handle it. You know what happened to her, the poor thing? Because he was denying it. She had a mental breakdown. Because he would not allow that prayer expression to come through her. He bound her all up till the poor thing had a mental breakdown. She was a good woman, a normal, healthy woman. Young. But that's what happens when you try to turn the screws down and God is trying to do something and you forbid it. And the souls of people are going to get broken from it. Amen. Okay. All right. So if this is the situation, religious, no power, but religious, what is your attitude to be toward that? From such, turn away. Don't have any fellowship with that kind of denomination or church or belief. Have nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter that they preach a few good things. If they deny the power, go somewhere else. Find another one. For of this sort, my goodness, looks like we're going to spend our time in 2 Timothy here. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive women silly. Captive. All right, let's back up and start and get these words in the right order. These are the kind of men, people, okay, who enter houses and lead captive, I would almost put a comma there, silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse or many kinds of lusts. Have you not encountered people like that? Free thinking, on the one hand, they have a desire for the things of God, but on the other hand, their life is filled with lustful sins, and they are a perfect victim for somebody to come along with some message, follow me, and here's another example of leading someone astray. Whereas these aren't just women, but the example is given here of women who are vulnerable, probably single, alone women, no husband, no father to look after them, to oversee them, no strong mother or grandmother, or whatever in the family. They're just alone and vulnerable, and they can be taken advantage of.
Well, the soul is feminine.
The soul, yes.
It's feminine.
Mm-hmm.
The houses could be the house of God.
It could be, yeah.
It's a silly woman that's in the house of candle.
Well, women is a type of what could be the church.
Yeah.
So taking advantage of a silly congregation. Silly. What do you think of silly?
Gullible.
That's a good word. Gullible. Gullible. My goodness, I'm not going to name names, but I can think of people that we've met over the years that really fit the bill. Some of them would even come to your Bible studies for a while.
But if you truly know the Word and you truly have a relationship with the Lord, you won't be so easily led by a man.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look to man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know the Word, you're going to hear when it's something wrong to say.
As Larry pointed out, this isn't just natural gender, though. This is a spiritual. Okay. Oh my goodness. How many people have I known that fit verse 7? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. In the natural, there are people like this. And let's start with the natural. People that are always going to the university. They're getting a degree forever. Never really getting there. But always, well, I'm going to change. I'm going to do this for a while. And by the way, how many of these people that I have known over the years, you ask them, what is your major? Guess what it will be? Psychology.
Oh boy.
Psychology.
Psych major.
Psych majors, yes. Some of the craziest people I've ever met are psych majors. Why? Why are they attracted to it?
Trying to figure themselves out.
That's right. They know that there's something crazy in their own soul, and they're trying to find the answers. And you know what? They are getting deceived by professors who are themselves deceived.
You got people on the radio that go to psychologists or psychiatrists, and they're giving everybody else advice all the time. And they can't handle their own situation. They're big stars.
They had a psychology woman on the local radio station years ago. I don't know if you remember that, John. I'm not going to name any names. But they didn't last. They were trying to make a talk program. I think there was a team of two of them or something. A man and a woman. And it was so dead. It just fell flat on the ground. Anyway, okay. Ever learning. Oh, and this applies to, let's get off the natural into the spiritual. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Listen, sooner or later, you have got to make up your mind about what you believe. And if you believe it, you've got to preach it and you've got to defend it. When I asked that brother, I love that brother. He was a very, very nice fellow. When I asked that brother years ago, when I came to the understanding of some end time things about the rapture and this type of thing, and
I was shaking my head, and I'm saying, man, I'm seeing something that the rest of these churches don't see. These pastors, I mean, they don't, I don't even dare ask them a question about this because they're going to get angry at me. So I went to this brother. He was a young fellow, in fact, younger than me at the time. Janet and I went to see him. And I went to his office. And I said, brother, I got to ask you a question. Be honest with me. Tell me, am I going crazy or what? But I'm beginning to see some things in this end time teaching, this rapture, that are it lines up with the Word of God. I said, am I crazy? He said, no. I said, do you believe what I'm telling you? He said, yes. I said, really? He said, yeah. He says, he reached behind and got a little book off his shelf and gave it to me. And the name of the book was The Late Great Pre-Trib Rapture by a McPherson or somebody, something like that. He gave me the book.
McPherson.
The Late Great Pre-Trib Rapture.
Yeah.
He gave me the book. And I said, no, well, he was talking about the guy who wrote The Late Great Planet Earth. Okay. It was a takeoff of that. In other words, it was going against that. And I said, oh, wow, that's a nice book. Where can I get a copy? He said, oh, you can keep it. I said, well, brother, you got a nice congregation, everything, people, you know, growing and everything's going good for you. I said, do you believe what we're talking about? He says, yeah, I believe it. I said, well, tell me again. Do you preach it? He said, no. I said, why not? If you believe it, why aren't you preaching it? He says, oh, it causes people distress and it causes people get confused. And I said, but it's the truth. No, he says, let it be. It's just like this fellow, this big Texas fellow. Some reporter asked him, well, how do you deal with, he named a couple of sins. How do you deal with that? He said, I don't go there. So, what are you still trying to decide whether this is the gospel truth or not? Are you still trying to decide whether the Bible says that's a sin or whether it isn't a sin? Come to a conclusion. Make up your mind. And when you make up your mind, then that's what you have to preach and that's what you have to defend. But always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of truth. See, Paul is saying we have to come to a knowledge of truth. You have to make up your mind. What is true, what is not. If it's true, I'm going to hold fast on it and you're not going to turn me from it. All right. If I'm wrong, all right, I'll listen to you. But I need to come to a conclusion. In fact, this is what I said to the Lord one day. I let it go for several years. And finally I said, Lord, look, if you're going to have me teaching the Word of God, I have to come to a knowledge of truth. I have to know, is it this way, the way these preachers are telling me, or is it the way I think your Word is telling me? I said, I have to know. And that's when I said to the Lord, who are the elect? And He said to me, by the Spirit, He said, well, look it up. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you have a concordance, don't you? Imagine the Lord talking so plain and simple like that. I mean, it wasn't a big loud voice like I heard when He said, for you are dead. It was a very quiet spirit. Well, you have a concordance, don't you? And I said, what a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that? Is because I was afraid that when I found out the truth, that I was going to be in conflict with other people who didn't want to see it that way. All right, now, listen to this.
Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. In other words, Paul is saying, look, if this is where they're going to stand, sooner or later, God is going to reveal the foolishness of it. He calls it folly. I think Paul's being very kind to use the word folly. But let's go back and look at Jannes and Jambres. Did you know, by the way, in reading the book of Exodus, did you know that their names were Jannes and Jambres, these sorcerers? It's not in the book of Exodus.
It isn't.
No. It just says that Pharaoh's soothsayers, or whatever he called them, that Pharaoh's magicians came, and they were able to do some of the same tricks that Moses was able to do. Did you know that?
That's amazing.
That they, produced lice or something, one of them, and then they were able to lay their rod down, it became a snake.
Turn water to blood.
They were able to do a few tricks like that, yeah.
Amazing.
A few of them.
Magic.
But I didn't know that they had names. So, you know, you find some interesting things in the New Testament that aren't told in the Old Testament. For instance, in the New Testament, when Stephen is preaching his last sermon, by the way, he gave the age of Moses. When he went into the wilderness, he told how old Moses was when he came back at the age of 80, everything. I mean, these are little facts that were not in the book of Exodus. How can we rely on them as being scriptural? Because this is part of their Jewish tradition, oral tradition that has been passed down. It's just as reliable, and it's been put in the Word of God as truth. Okay? Jannes and Jambres. Now, let me tell you that, did you know that these names have a meaning? Let me tell you who Jannes is. His name means one who resists authority. How would you like to name that guy to your cabinet? Well, one who resists authority, I'm going to make you Secretary of State here.
Oh,
is he going to be an obedient man? No, he isn't. But see, these are priests of magicians. These are Egyptian hocus pocus priests. Okay, Jannes, one who resists authority. Jambres, disobedience and rebellion. Now, did Paul just come up with these names and said one who resists authority and one who is rebellious withstood Moses? Well, they were. They actually were. That was actually their nature. Okay? Their nature was to withstand Moses. And they were working for the devil, so therefore they would resist the truth. Moses was coming with the truth, and they did not want the truth that Moses was coming with. Okay? So, they said they resisted him, so do these also. Now, who is the these that he's talking about? These would be the verse 13, evil men and seducers that are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So do these also resist the truth. Now, I got to give you a little definition of the word resist. It's number 436. You probably got it in your little... Oh, you don't have your little thing today. A-N-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I, antisthema, to stand against, to oppose, to withstand. That's what that word resist means. So do these. Who are the these again? Help me. These have got to be religious leaders, religious men. Religious men who have a form of godliness, but who do not have the power or the dunamis of it. And they are resisting the truth. Now, I find that in every
in every denomination that I've been encountered. Even the good denomination that if I ever had to join one, that would probably be the one I would like to join. But I have found a resistance to the truth. When you come right down to the point where something is going to cost you something, okay? I remember in the early days when we brought Brother Campbell and Brother DeSeal into the area here. We brought in many, many young men who were starting churches in those days, okay? And I remember the one fellow said to me, I said, so you were going to announce this in your church? Well, he said, I'm not going to do it. The Lord told me not to do it. I said, why? Now, he had been there. He'd been in the meeting. He'd heard the prophecies, everything. He heard the word of God. I said, why are you not doing it? Why did the Lord tell you not to do it? I don't know how I said it to him. He said, well, we're not ready for it. And it wasn't just that one. There was another one that raised some kind of... He made up a conflict with the brother. And he projected that conflict onto us. He said, well, you're with him, so you're an antagonistic against us too. And it wasn't just one, two, three, four. And I began to observe within myself, I said, these people have heard a word of truth and they have come to a conclusion. And the conclusion is that if they preach this message, they're going to lose some people. Because people are going to be offended. And the word offense is actually used in the word here. In the Greek word for offense is scandalizo. Scandalous. It's going to create a scandal. And they're going to lose people. And if they're going to lose people, they're paid clergy. Therefore, they're going to lose their income as well. Okay? So they have counted the cost, in other words, you counted the cost, and you said, it's going to cost me thus and thus. I will go for a truth that's on a lower level, but it's okay with 90% of my colleagues. What was the message you brought a while back? When okay is not okay? Isn't that what we're talking about? Mm-hmm. What they were preaching was okay. Actually, what they were preaching was truth. But they weren't preaching the whole truth. There was a truth that went beyond the basic foundation, Jesus will save your sins and forgive you. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a man just... when did I go pick that thing up? Thursday? Yeah, I was talking to him about the gathering that they had on the holiday. And I said, you know, I heard your pastor, heard him preach. And I said, he's quite evangelistic, isn't he? And I said, he gave an invitation right there at the big parade. He says, yeah. He says, he gives an invitation every Sunday.
What's wrong with that?
No, nothing wrong. That's truth. See, that's what I'm saying is, okay, that is a level of truth. Mm-hmm. But are you going to go beyond that now too? And give? Are you going to give more truth? There's more truth than that. And if everybody in your group you know is born again, move on into the higher things of the word. It's good, brother, good word. And I believe there's many more like that. I asked him, I said, was that brother ever a Baptist? He said, no, I don't think so. He's a good brother though. Loves people, loves the Lord.
Reminds me of Hebrews 6. It says, leaving behind the elemental principles,
yeah,
of doctrine and faith.
And, yeah. Moving on. So, but this is an active resistance though, okay? So in order to actively resist, you have to have been confronted by it. And you bristle. I can't help but remember this elderly pastor who is now more than 10 years younger than I am today. At the time, I thought was an elderly gentleman. And how he bristled and resisted so when I asked him the simple question, "Brother, who are the elect?" He knew where I was going with that. And he bristled and spit the words out at me, you know. Come on, brethren, we cannot... Remember you and I, when we went to the Ramada that time.
Yeah.
We weren't threatening that man.
Oh, no.
We were not threatening that man, were we, Larry?
That's what the question of.
We had a...
Intermission.
In the intermission, we quietly went up to question him about some obscure verse in Jeremiah or Isaiah or something.
Well, he was preaching the rapture.
He was preaching rapture, but he was taking a verse out of the Old Testament, as far as I'm concerned, had absolutely nothing to do with it. And I went to ask him, how do you relate that verse to your subject? And he immediately exploded. "Who are you guys?" Goes over the microphone. Where are you guys from? You know, I mean, come on, we wanted to keep it quiet. This is an example. I mean, these are not... what Paul is talking about is worse examples than this. But this is the bottom line here that Paul is talking about in this chapter is apostasy. And we'll have a whole message on apostasy, but this is what it is in the church. Apostasy. Okay? Now, Timothy, dear brother, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, at what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Amen. Okay, do we have time for another? Not much, but a little, yes. Let me go to Romans chapter 1. And then we'll do 2 Thessalonians next week, okay? I found a very interesting verse in the first chapter of Romans. And also, yeah, the first chapter of Romans, where Paul is writing very similar to what he's been writing to Timothy by the Holy Spirit. I always have to say by the Holy Spirit. Don't think of this as just Paul. This is Paul writing by the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is speaking, God is speaking. God speaks through men, women, people, human beings. Okay? He doesn't just blast a trumpet from out of a cloud. He's able to do that, of course. He did it in the days of Moses, and people were terribly frightened. Romans 1, did I say verse 18? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, does that make any sense to you in the English words that are being used here? Because one of the words is an ancient word that has to be changed. The word hold If you were in Old English, you understood it, but today you would have to say withhold. Now, read the verse again. Because that, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, which is the spiritual realm, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. That's pretty much the same thing, isn't it? Ungodly and unrighteous. Of men. Now, here it is, men again. Men who withhold the truth in unrighteousness. So here again, what kind of men would be interested in withholding the truth in unrighteousness?
Ones that don't want to lose their congregation.
So we're basically talking about ministry here now, aren't we? We're not talking about people that have no action of religion at all. These are not usually your common politicians. They have their own kind of withholding the truth, but it has nothing to do with righteous versus unrighteous. It's just plain unrighteous most of the time anyway. But they're withholding the truth. See?
With the truth.
So the man that says to the man, the preacher that says to the interviewer, when he asks him, how do you confront sin, and just saying, I don't go there. Is he not saying that he is withholding? He is withholding the message of truth to his congregation. He's not telling them, you need to repent of this. He's withholding that.
Because the place would empty out.
Yeah, it would empty out. It would not be a user-friendly atmosphere anymore. Okay? Now, let's go and then we'll finish with one more verse to verse 28. There's another verse here. Let me back up here to verse 24, okay? And we'll work our way down to 28. Wherefore, oh my goodness. All right, let me go from 18 down. All right, you got to get the whole thing in context, okay? Because, why? Why do they withhold the truth in unrighteousness? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. In other words, the truth is, the truth of, let's say, the truth of the natural affection, the truth of abortion being a sin, being killing, especially in your last trimester, you are killing a baby, a real baby, not a mass of cells. Mass of cells might last for a couple of days, okay? Just a little cell here, a little cell there, growing together. It doesn't last long, though, okay? Very, very shortly, there's a heartbeat there, and there's a living being, all right? The truth is revealed in the animals. Try to take that cub away from the lion. No, you're not going to get away with it. The bear. Even the tame cow wants to attack you. Okay? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, animals, trees, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, now this is, here's what happens to these foolish PhD professors that don't believe in God. okay? All wise, very intelligent, all kinds of doctoral degrees. Amen? Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Where is he going here? He's going to the LGBT thing. These are not all base, stupid people with IQs of 35 or something. No, this is not who we're talking about. These are artists. Yes, these are talented people. All right? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. Even the women. We don't have to say much about it. The verse says it all. No? And likewise the men, yes, leaving the natural use of women, in other words, they have no use of women anymore. They just desire other men. Women just desire other women. Amen. Leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Oh, the Bible says unseemly. Yes, it's perversion. Unseemly. In my margin, it says shameful. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fitting or meet. Now, some people would dare to say that the diseases that this brings about is their fitting or meet result. You know that HIV has become such a protected disease now that it can't be exposed or revealed. It's protected because of this group of people.
Well, a phrase like that 40-some years ago, Mark, oh, it's about 50 years ago. One chaplain said that was this disease thing was the wrath of God, it's those who sin.
Yeah, but you don't dare stand up and say that anymore.
The storm that blew around him was unbelievable. He was clammed up.
Yeah, they'll tar and feather you and send you out of town on a rail.
He was.
Yeah, but isn't that what I just read?
Yes.
In these verses?
But the sugarcoaters didn't want to hear that.
Yeah. All right, now here's verse 28, the one I'm coming to. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So, my understanding of being given over to a reprobate mind is now they can rightly say that I have this spirit and I cannot be cured of it because they don't want to be cured of it. And now they're making laws. They're trying to make a law that any counselor that tries to turn somebody away from that lifestyle, even spiritual counselors, can be charged with whatever. Yeah, so they're making laws actually to prevent ministers of the truth from ministering that truth in counseling to people who have sin issues. Because now they want to say, well, I'm born this way, I'm born with DNA. And you know what? They might actually find out that there is a DNA, because your DNA can change depending on the way you live. I think you can change your DNA. I may be wrong. But I think if you go into certain areas of wickedness and darkness, your DNA can change. What does it mean to the third and fourth generation? that God is God. What does that mean? Is that not following something down the DNA line?
And the life is in the blood.
Yes, the blood.
Blood.
So yeah.
We receive blood from someone else. Mm-hmm. And get their life.
Let me read on and finish the chapter since we're here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, there it is, it's the sexual thing, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, and whispers. Let's define debate here. Is strife. Malignancy is evil-mindedness. Backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. Implacable means unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Boy, it sounds like a lot like that other verse that we read, doesn't it? In Timothy. So, Paul did not change, the Holy Spirit did not change his mind between Romans and 2 Timothy. It's the same. God is the same forever. He is unchanging. I think we've gone far enough for today. We're talking about the deceivers, okay? Praise the Lord. Amen.